an incredibly important man in Canadian sports broadcast history joins us, and always kind with his time, Jerry Haworth joins us on the day, Jerry, you're announcing your retirement as the play-by-play radio voice of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yes, I am, Ryan. I appreciate being on, and I had the pleasure of flying out to Calgary years ago to speak to the fans of the Okotoks Dogs, and that was very heartwarming for me as well. But yes, I've decided that because of my health and the surgery I had 15 months ago, I just don't have the stamina to continue, some voice issues as well. But it's been a wonderful run, but I thought this was a good time to just bow out.
Boy, there's got to be a lot of emotions attached with this. Just looking at Twitter, and you know, many of us, we love our Blue Jays in this country, and every summer you're with us or we're with you, whichever way I suppose it goes. But the people that have been you've touched are so emotional on this day. What are you feeling?
Well, I definitely have some emotions. The last couple hours here, I've been on with Jeff Blair on our radio station, and it's just overwhelming, the response and the people who have enjoyed the broadcast over the years. And it's emotional for me, too. But a week ago, Ryan, having pushed it to the envelope where I'd already had my plane reservation, hotel down there, and a month of March at the Innisbrook Resort, I couldn't do it. I kept almost simulating games and sign-ons, and it just wasn't there. The sleep patterns have changed considerably. And so because of that, I didn't want to go out where people would say, oh, I just heard Jerry and I felt sorry for Jerry. No, what I wanted was people to remember the 36 years, including last year, which was a good year, even though it was a little bit of a struggle. And I wanted to go out that way, and I felt very good about it. It was my call, and it was a call that I wanted to make sincerely, where I had no regrets, and I was able to do that and today celebrate that decision.
Boy, that's sad news to many Jays fans, but you said it. You get to go out on your own terms, and not many get to do that, no matter what their career is. Tell us about the last 2 years. How difficult was it to not be yourself physically when you're talking about using your voice for a living?
Well, I caught a bit of a break in 15 and 16, those great years, with Bautista's home run in the championship series, or the division series to beat Texas, and then next year the wild card home run by Edwin Encarnacion. Those 2 years were very strong. And then in November, after the 16 season, I ended up with some prostate cancer that had to be addressed. And so I had surgery in November 15 months ago to remove the prostate cancerous gland and a tumor. And after that, I began to realize that I wasn't quite the same. But in 2017, I was able to get through the year, and I had a difficult time doing it, and especially the last 2 or 3 months, I just wore down. And at the end of the year, I was happy to have finished and maybe give it 80, 85, 90% of what I was capable of doing. But then this winter, when I realized I was trying to do that again and couldn't really even get to the 80% in just simulating or recreating games in my living room, I decided I didn't want to do that for the fans. I didn't want to just push the envelope where, and I remember athletes doing this too. I grew up in San Francisco. I watched Willie Mays. And what I remember is that in his last year or two with the New York Mets, he's 40 years old, dropping balls in center field. And Joe Montana, who I followed as a 49er fan, finishing up with the Kansas City Chiefs and passes intercept, he wasn't the same. I didn't want to do that. So I felt very comfortable a week ago. My wife cried as she heard that. My boys wanted me to go another year. But for me, Ryan, it was the best call, and I was really happy to make it and then be able to look back and say I really enjoyed every moment, including last year where it was a little more difficult.
Take us back to the beginning, because you are an institution in this country now because of your work for over a third of a century. But what were the early days with the Blue Jays like? And boy, there were some powerhouse teams early on in your career, weren't there?
Well, there really were. My first full season was 1982. And I was very fortunate that when I came aboard as the full-time announcer with Tom, replacing Erlewine, they brought in this manager who ends up in the Hall of Fame, Bobby Cox. And so Bobby was my first manager, where we did a manager show every day for 162 games. So from 82 to 85, not only was I with Bobby seeing the beginnings of what was going to be a Hall of Fame career, I began to see, too, Pat Gillick, who's also in the Hall of Fame at Cooperstown, with the players he had drafted, developed in the minor leagues, becoming impact players. I was right there on the threshold of all of that. So from 82 to 84, when they started to build up to 89 wins, they were on the cusp of being great. And sure enough, in 85, they won 99 games. Tom and I had a great time with that. And that was the beginning, really, in 84, of 11 straight years where they played better than 500 ball, culminating with the World Series in 92 and 93. But when you think about it, too, two Hall of Famers were involved in that, in Bobby and Pat. And then later in 92, Jack Morris is in the Hall of Fame now, Dave Winfield, later Paul Molitor. You take a look at the entire situation there. It was unbelievable what the Blue Jays were able to do to make all that happen. They added Ricky Henderson in 93, another Hall of Famer. So I was just very fortunate to come along at just the right time to make it happen.
Boy, and the move from the old football stadium converted to baseball into the Sky Dome at the time, which was one of the wonders of the world, it seemed, with the retractable roof. Can you even compare the early days to now in terms of just the scale and the scope of not just baseball, but the broadcast and where you can be reached and how many people can feel like they're a part of this team now?
Well, no question. In fact, I had to laugh there a little bit when you were talking about old Exhibition Stadium, because from 82 to the middle of 89, that's where the games were played. And I tell you, I can just be very honest. I'm a big believer in global warming from this standpoint. I have lived 36 years here. And in the 80s, outside at Exhibition Stadium, I did not, Ryan, I underscore not, give my complimentary tickets to even my family or friends until May 15th because I felt so sorry for them, freezing out there with icicles everywhere and the water, not only on the ground, but the winds coming off Lake Ontario adding to the chill factor. That's how ungodly cold it was for those first third of my years. And then everything changed, of course, when they moved into the Rogers Center, then the Sky Dome, to allow free agents like Jack Morris and Dave Winfield and later Paul Molitor, Dave Stewart, to say, I want to not only come to Toronto to help win a World Series, but I want to play under some ideal conditions, too, regarding the weather. And so that was always a big factor in looking back. The growth of a franchise, where, believe it or not, in 1977, the entire payroll from the 25-man roster to the last minor leaguer, was $1 million. Look where we've come since then.
Now $1 million
is almost the average.
That's a nice discount for a young player under team control. It seems $1 million. Jerry, the last couple of years of the two playoff series before last year's subpar season, did you at any point in the late 90s or the early 2000s wonder if it would happen again? There was a lot of teams that just barely, you know, got to around 500 or above, but geez, you got the Red Sox, you got the Yankees. Were there times where you ever wondered if they'd get back to playoff baseball in Toronto?
Yes, there were many times like that, and it was 22 years before they finally got to the playoffs in 2015 now. That's a significant drought when you consider just before that with the two World Series wins back-to-back. So, yes, I did have some doubts and apprehension. I kept looking at the teams. And then all of a sudden, and this is kind of a part of being a successful team, the young general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, told me in the middle of 2015, when I asked him about where the team was going, because he had just acquired Troy Tulowitzki, LaTroy Hawkins, David Price came over. He was very honest. He said, Jerry, in my career up to 2015, I really didn't look that much at character and heart and desire and determination. I looked at numbers, I looked at statistics, but that wasn't working. And he said, in the off season before this 2015 season, I acquired Josh Donaldson and I pushed for him because I knew he had the character and leadership on the field and in the clubhouse that this team needed. And much to his credit, making those adjustments, 2015 and 2016 reflected a team not only that won, but they won because of character and teamwork and pulling for one another. And Donaldson getting into a teammate's face saying, play harder. It's the get her done leg, as he made famous here. But Donaldson was the beginning, and others as well. Russ Martin came along at that same time with Donaldson. You have to have character in your clubhouse, and Alex had not had enough of that. But when he put it together, I give him high marks for what was a vast drought there for 22 years that he turned around and made happen.
Jerry Haworth joins us. He announced his retirement this morning on Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto just a couple hours ago, and an incredible 36-year career on Toronto Blue Jays radio broadcasts. Text coming in, Jerry. We're live in Boston today, but everyone in Calgary is texting in. Please say thank you to the legend for us. Jerry was everything Blue Jays for most of us our entire baseball lives. He will be missed immensely. What has the outpouring been like, albeit just for a couple hours now?
Well, it started with my son, Joe. Now, we have two boys. Ben is 40, and he lives in Chicago. He's been there for 18 years. And Joe, who's a year younger, he's 39, he lives right here in Toronto. And Joe, it hit him hard, Ryan, where he said, we moved here, Dad, when I was 3 years old, and I have heard you broadcast the last 36 years, and you're my link to the Blue Jays. And he said, remember, too, Tom and Jerry is where it all started, and now Jerry, after that, was carried it off, and now today ends that era, the Tom and Jerry era. I hadn't really thought too much about that, but he was crying, and he said, Dad, this has hit me to the core. And so that, plus so many calls today, too, and outpouring of affection like you just read right there, it's touching for me, and it made my look back, too, very gratifying, because, Ryan, in all honesty, it wasn't about me. This career wasn't about me or my ego or look at me or how I sound. It was, how can I inform and entertain the audience every day with a blank white canvas, paint it to the best of my artistically that I can, then initial it in the lower right-hand corner after every broadcast. How can I make that the best broadcast for the fans? I can't control the one loss record, but I can control what I put into the broadcast, working with a partner, whether it was Tom or here lately Joe Siddle, and before that Alan Ashby, Jack Morris, Warren Saucu. And that's what I'm most happy about, that I was able to do that, highlighting my partners and the game, and then standing back and let the crowd noise for great plays like the Bautista and Encarnacion home runs take precedent on radio.
I got to ask you, do you have a favorite call? Is there a list that you have, or does it sort of vary depending on when you're asked? I don't know. Do you have a power ranking, so to speak, of the calls you've made?
Well, actually, I have two of them, and it's from two different eras. Really, my favorite call was working Game 6 of the 92 World Series in Atlanta, where after nine innings, the game was tied. Tom did the 10th. And I did the 11th. That's what we did from that point on. After the 10th, we went every other inning. Well, wouldn't you know it, to win the World Series in Game 6 there in the top of the 11th inning, Dave Winfield with two down, doubles home, two, White and Alomar score for the 4-2 lead. Well, between innings, I said to myself, whoa, we're going to the bottom of the 11th inning, and Toronto's trying to win a first World Series ever outside the United States. And when we came back, unbeknownst to Tom, I said, ladies and gentlemen, I've had the pleasure of calling Dave Winfield's two-run double, and now here's my partner to take you the rest of the way. And Tom sat up, and he went to the mic, and he said, thank you, Jerry. And then he called the bottom of the inning, and when the game was over, Tim Linda-Carter and the Blue Jays win the World Series. The Blue Jays win the World Series. That was really my favorite call because we did it together. And then as Tom contracted his cancer and then later would die October 9th in 2005, as the lead announcer, the Bautista home run after that wild seventh inning at the Rogers Center against Texas came to a conclusion. He hit that three-run home run for the 6-3 lead and the win in the final game. That, personally, was my second favorite call, and they came at different times, so I was happy to do both.
Incredible. Tingles on both descriptions, Jerry. You still got the gift. My goodness. What is next? What does the next few months look like for you? Do you dare wander down to Dunedin and watch? Do you want to sit back and spend time with family? Where do you go from today?
Well, I definitely am not going to spring training. I'm going to let the Blue Jays handle that and do what they want. And then after that, I will definitely go out opening day because Brandy Halliday will be there. I've known her for years, and of course, Roy passing away in the plane accident. So they will honor Roy. Brandy will be there, and I will be there too. And then after that, I think I'll just take in a few games here and there. I will definitely be down on the field on many occasions at home to see the people that I know in the media, the Blue Jays players, manager John Gibbons, the coaches. And after that, just kind of take it one step at a time. And that's pretty much how I've lived my whole entire life. Just enjoy the moment. You're not promised tomorrow. But I have big plans just to continue doing what I'm doing, enjoying the Blue Jays, but not in the capacity that I was once in.
Well, for all of us that have spent 30-plus years with you by our sides in the summer, we say thank you so much and all the best in your retirement, Jerry.
Now, Ryan, thanks for having me on. And to all those out in Calgary and Okotoks, I appreciate you being out there. And when I said hello, friends, to begin a broadcast, that was directed to you.
Jerry Haworth, unbelievable. What a man. That's sensational. 36 years as the play-by-play and color as well, the part of the broadcast team with Tom Cheap to begin with, and then after Tom's passing, the main play-by-play guy, an incredible amount of time calling Blue Jays baseball, and incredible stories there. Wow.